Misty Winston on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello, welcome to the Misty Winston Show here on TNT Radio. Before we introduce our guest for this hour, let's go for another rant. I'm going to talk about it again because, Lord, it's delicious. One of the best stories of all time happened yesterday. I have no doubt that most people have already heard about it, but I can't not talk about it because it just really does bring me so much joy. I am, of course, talking about the incredible Freudian slip from former president and despicable war criminal George W. Bush. Bush was speaking at an event at his presidential center at Southern Methodist University. In the speech, he compared Zelensky to Churchill and also called him a, quote, cool little guy, which I think is funny. He then went on to single-handedly expose Western hypocrisy with one sentence. He said, quote, the result is an absence of checks and balances in Russia and the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of, wait for it, Iraq. He said Iraq. He said it out loud. And then he noticeably winced in shame and then corrected himself and said, I mean, Ukraine. And then he giggled, the crowd giggled, and then he blamed it on his age, saying, you know, I'm 75 or whatever. And the reason why I love this, first of all, I do find it incredibly disturbing that the crowd so easily laughed it off because, you know, we illegally invaded a country under false pretenses and lots and lots and lots of people died. And so that's gross that we're so able to, and it's not the first time that that's happened, that, you know, our president has, I mean, this was unintentional, but I mean, Barack Obama has, you know, made jokes about drone bombing his daughter's potential boyfriends and stuff. Like, this isn't the first time that they've openly made comments like this and people have just laughed it off. It's a little bit disturbing that that's the culture that we live in. But it is awesome because all of the propaganda that they've been pushing on us as far as Ukraine goes, all of that narrative management, he just wiped it all out. Because as I have been saying since the start of this thing, whatever Vladimir Putin is doing in Ukraine, like the entirety of it from the start of the conflict until now, that's like a Tuesday for the United States. I mean, this is something that we do on a regular basis. We're getting ready to go back to Somalia. We're going to send a whole bunch of troops back to Somalia. We're bombing Syria. We're aiding in a genocide in Yemen. We're aiding in a genocide and an apartheid in Israel and in Palestine. And so it's mind-blowing to me that we think that we have any moral superiority over anyone ever. And so, you know, it's that American exceptionalism. It's that whole, you know, if we do it, obviously we're the good guys. So then it's good and it's just, and it's the right thing to do. That's not the case. I guess let's go ahead and play the clip so everybody can hear it for themselves and hear the kind of awkward giggling. So let's take a listen.
Russian elections are rigged. Political opponents are imprisoned or otherwise eliminated from participating in the electoral process. The result is an absence of checks and balances in Russia and the decision of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine. Iraq, too. Anyway. 75.
Oh, you can hear the awkward silence at first. The awkward silence when he says Iraq and everybody's like, what do we do here? And then he giggles it off. And so everybody else giggles it off. Something else I find interesting in that little clip there is that he talks about political opponents being kind of neutralized or jailed or whatever. Julian Assange, anybody? Julian Assange exposed George W. Bush's war crimes in Afghanistan and Iraq. And we all know where he is right now. He has been neutralized. He has been imprisoned. And so he is sitting in Belmarsh being tortured as George W. Bush gives speeches and giggles about his war crimes. So that's where we're at right now. And I know that everybody's probably already seen that, but this is exactly what I've been talking about for months. People keep yelling at me when I bring it up, when I, you know, somebody will say something about Putin's war crimes and I say, okay, but you know, look at what we're, and people call that whataboutism. I don't mean it as a whataboutism. I mean that we have zero legitimacy. We have zero right to be talking about anybody else. We need to clean our own house first. And now the United States has this thing where they're going to try to get the authority to charge anybody that they want any other country for war crimes. When does somebody charge us for our war crimes? That's what I want to know, because they always go unchecked. There's never any accountability. As I said, George W. Bush should be in prison. The man should be in prison. He should not be giving speeches. He should not have a presidential center and have like this fancy schmancy, you know, event that he's going to and then is able to giggle about his war crimes. That's not a kind of society I want to live in. And yet here we are. We punish our truth tellers. We punish the people that expose those war crimes, and people like George W. Bush walk free. And that is very sad to me. So it's awesome that he slipped like this. They're gonna try to push it off as one of Joe Biden's gaffes, I guess. But really, he just told the truth. All he did right there is just tell the truth. Every part of his speech that pertained to Putin was nothing but pure projection. So everybody, I highly recommend going and checking out the full video. It is just peppered with nonsense, and multiple people have been talking about it, writing articles about it, all that good stuff. It definitely went viral. It's definitely, it makes me happy. It makes me happy when they expose themselves like that. Makes my job easier, for sure. Okay, so that's my rant for today right here on TNT Radio.
Dismantling the woke.
It's a woke society, and I am fed up with it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, joining us this hour. I'm so excited. I'm honored. We have Ian Schlachman and the legendary Reverend Annie Chambers. Ian is an amazing activist and former Green Party candidate for both governor of Maryland in 2018, also president in 2020. I supported his campaign wholeheartedly in 2020. And then the Green Party had to do some DNC type shenanigans. And then Reverend Annie Chambers is, of course, an absolute legend. She's a former Black Panther. She is one of 22 kids, joined the movement at the very young age of 14 and hasn't stopped fighting since. And Ian and Annie are here to tell us about the upcoming National Welfare Rights Conference that's taking place June 15th and 16th in Baltimore. There are also some additional events being held on the 17th and 18th. So we're going to talk about that and let everybody know how they can get signed up and go. I'm going to try to go. I'm trying to work out childcare right now. So Ian and Reverend Annie, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us on, Misty.
Yeah, of course. I'm so excited. I've been trying to get Ian on for a long time. He keeps telling me that he doesn't have anything to say, which is nonsense, sir. That's nonsense. Okay, so do you want to, maybe we should start by letting Reverend Annie tell us a little bit about her journey, because as I said, she is a literal legend. She is a force to be reckoned with. And so she offers a lot of insight and just wisdom. So Reverend Annie, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey, through the movement, because you were really just born to lead movements.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. I feel honored to be on. I'm glad that you did ask me to come on. And anytime you need me, always feel free to call me.
I will.
I will come on. Okay. Right now, Reverend Annie is 80 years old. I've been in the movement since I was 14 years old. I'm a mother, a grandmother, a great grandmother, a great, great, great grandmother. I'm a grandmother four times over. And I've been blessed to still be able to be in the movement and fight and continue. And I always threaten the officials with, I got at least 20 more years to kick you. So, I tell them, at least I got 20 years. I'm going to live to be that 100. So I feel, real good about that. I can still do that. As I said, I'm a mother and a grandmother four times over. I'm the mother of 25 children. I was blessed with 12 boys and 13 girls. And I started out in the movement when I was 14. I went to my first demonstration in Durham, North Carolina. And in that demonstration, I was with my brother, my oldest brother, James X, who was Magnum's first lieutenant. And he carried me to the just to look, observe the demonstration. But I found myself that day. I knew that I would be an activist, and I have been an activist ever since then. I'm also a Black Panther. I'm the vice president of the National Welfare Rights Union, along with other boards that I sit on and continue to fight. So, you know, I've been around a long, long time in the movement. And sometime when you do have more time, you can bring me on and I'll tell some of the stories about what happened in the movement. Like right now, we are gearing up for the Poor People's Campaign National March. And that I was in the very first Poor People's Campaign National March. I helped organize it. I went all up in the Appalachians and all up in the mountains and bringing people out to come to the march, and almost got to the march actually in Silver Springs, Maryland, and right on the outside skirts of Washington, D.C. I had a nice baby boy, and I think he weighed 10 pounds and 8.5 ounces when the ambulance came and got me and carried me to D.C. General, and I had my baby, my daddy. I had my baby alongside the road, but they carried me to hospital, and I got cleaned up and went on, continued in the march. So I was there for the first, and I'm so blessed to be here for this one and to be a part of the organizing of this one. So it has come full force circle for me, and I'm continue to go on in this struggle, because we must fight. And you know, I was listening to you when and I hope I'm not going too long, but I'll
no, you're fine.
I was listening to you when you were talking about America and their war crimes. America will have to pay for all their war crimes and political prisoners that they have in their country. It's going to come a full force for America. You know, my father as a Baptist minister used to always say, you can't do wrong and continue to do wrong and get by. And America's going to have to pay. You know, all of a sudden now we so hurt and worried about Ukraine and all this stuff and going to put somebody on trial for war crimes, talking about trying somebody. America, just look at yourself. You tell the truth in America, and you're all of a sudden you're in prison. Julius Assange is in prison because he told the truth on America.
Yep.
You know, in it, you know, so America, you have to point your fingers inward at yourself.
Yes.
And so it's people like us that has to fight to clean up this mess in America.
Yes. Well said. I mean, it really is. And I think that you're right. I think that, you know, we think that we can get away with it, but I think we're already starting to see the manifestation of the consequences of that here at home. And that's going to continue. And you're right. I mean, telling the truth in this country is a very dangerous thing at this point. It always kind of has been. But I think that that's escalated exponentially over the last 10, 15 years or so, you know, and it really kind of started with Obama of all people. I mean, Mr. Transparency, right? He was going to be so transparent. And then he went after more journalists and whistleblowers than all other presidents combined. Ian, I know that you say that Reverend Annie is your mentor. So how did you meet Reverend Annie, and then how has she influenced you as an activist and as a I don't know. Do you consider yourself a politician? I don't really consider you a politician.
Oh my gosh!
Because I like you.
I don't consider myself a politician. I think that if you consider yourself a politician first, you're doing something wrong, or you're making some kind of money. Yeah. I don't even remember. We've been working together for so long now. I remember I helped you get elected as the RAB board here in Douglas Homes. We're sitting in Douglas Homes public housing project in Baltimore. I'm trying to think, before that you were working on my campaign. Actually, you came to me because you heard about me during one of my campaigns.
Yes.
And of course, you know, I'm not going to name names, but when politicians come into town, people just see dollar signs. And Reverend Chambers came to me and she said, I want to work with you. Seriously, I want to work with you. I want to work with you. And that always stuck by me. It really did. It really did. And I've been working with her ever since. And I love making mistakes in front of Reverend Chambers. It's one of my favorite things to do because I love introducing her as a former Black Panther. And then she likes to chew me out and tell me there was such thing as a former Black Panther because she's still in the struggle. But a lot of people have sold out.
Yes.
And it's real easy to see, you know, that when you reach a certain age or get a certain level of prestige, forces come at you from like all different angles. People from the housing authority, you know, try to buy her off. People just do stupid stuff. Like we were doing a food giveaway during the pandemic when it first started. There was no food here. People were in lockdown in their houses. If you get to the market, there's no food on the shelves. And we tried to do a food giveaway. And lo and behold, you know, the housing authority threatening to call the cops for a food giveaway on the street. I mean, it just, it's absolutely insane to me. And then they come at her, you know, from behind the scenes and go, well, you know, what if you just be quiet? Oh, what if you work with us and give us all the food? What if you, you know, then when they realized they had to feed the people because people were starving in Douglas Homes. Then they ask her, oh, could you give us your food contacts? We actually do want to feed people. We can't let them starve. I mean, the level of stupidity, I think, that goes through a politician, you know, is someone in power is just struggling to keep their own power. That's all they care about is their money and their own power. And, you know, working with someone like Reverend Chambers, it's something you can't walk away from because there's not a single day this woman does not think about the people in her community are the people of the world who are poor and working class and how we should join together and rise up instead of our own personal well-being. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's so rare. Go ahead, Reverend Chambers.
Yeah. Okay. Ian was really, I'll tell you how we met. Ian was running for city council. Oh,
that's right. You got better memory than me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't forget you. You're 80 years, but I ain't forgot my name. I don't forget nothing.
That's amazing.
I remember everything. Ian was running for city council, and we got this SARS counseling over here in my district.
Yeah.
And I, you know, said I need to do some work. I never considered in as a politician because I did research before I, connected with him. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go get this young man and tell him that I'm going to work with him. And I told him that it's no charge, no money, mm-hmm. nothing. I don't want anything mm-hmm. but to see you win. Mm-hmm. And that's how we got together. And we've been working together ever since. So now I tell everybody he's my son. My children call him their brother. we feel real good about being together. Anytime something go on, he's not a politician. Because a politician is one of the slimiest things in the world.
Yes.
You know, this is going to sound crazy. Sometimes some of my clergy mm-hmm. fellow tell me that. I say, you know, the slimest thing on earth is a minister. Someone that call themselves a minister and don't do the will of God. You know, and politicians is right in the same boat with them. That I tell Jesse that every time we meet, I say, you know, I know you's a snake.
Jesse Jackson.
Jesse Jackson.
Yeah.
Okay. Reverend Jesse Jackson, I'm talking about. I tell him that. I tell Reverend Al Sharpton the same thing. He said, oh, please just give me a chance. I say, I know you.
Nope.
You's a crook. You've been a crook. You know, but when a politician smiles at you, they, as Minister Malcolm said, they're cutting your throat at the same time. Mm-hmm. They cut your throat. So I don't, some people, I don't call them Reverend anything. I call them by their name. And that's it because they don't deserve that title. what does a reverend do? And I asked them, well, what does a reverend do? What are you supposed to do as a minister? Minister to the people. And they don't.
Yeah.
So, you know, what does a politician really supposed to do? A servant of the people for the good of the people. So you don't deserve that title. You don't deserve that title.
That's a great point. That is a great point. Yes, because you're right. So, they are supposed to be public servants, and they're not. They're absolutely not. And I know
you're a servant of the people.
Yes. Well, they're serving. Yeah, you're supposed to be a servant of the people, but they're really just serving themselves. So that's what it is. Okay, that's we have to take a really quick break.
So you're not nothing but a shyster.
No, you're fine. Okay. It's fine. No, they are. They're self-serving cretins, really. That's what it is. So, yes, you have accurately called them out for sure. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with more from Ian Schlachman and Reverend Annie Chambers right after this here on TNT Radio.
Dolores Cahill on TNT Radio.
They're engineering these cycles, right? If they know they want to have a cycle by changing the value of the loan to asset ratio, or that if the banks and the regulators work together and they know a cycle is coming, they can profit by it and also use the downturn in the cycle to claim the assets that they didn't actually own initially.
Exactly right, Dolores. What if you, as Kevin said, if you study history, what they do is they inflate assets and then they strip them from the people that they allegedly lend money to. When you understand how the money system really works, there are no loans as such, not in the way that they portray them to be. So what they do is they inflate, it's boom and bust. There should be no, there's no reason for boom and bust economies. It's created deliberately so that people can have their assets inflated and then taken from them. And then you rebuild, assets get inflated and they take them. The whole model is based on asset stripping. That's banking.
Weekends with Dolores Cahill on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Nearly every day we hear dire predictions about climate change from the media establishment, Hollywood, and politicians. They tell us that the world is coming to an end because normal human activity is raising the temperature to dangerous levels. To avoid a hellish apocalypse, they warn us we must immediately change our lifestyles and our very way of life. But are these sensational claims based on solid empirical science? Do the facts line up with the hype? Well, an increasing number of scientists are becoming skeptical. We covered what many of these scientists had to say in our first groundbreaking film, Climate Hustle. From overhyped claims about severe weather events, temperatures, rising sea levels, and even disappearing polar bears, Climate Hustle peeled back the hype and looked at the facts, facts that simply don't add up to any reason for alarm. So this begs the questions. Why would those claiming a global warming catastrophe spread a false narrative? What would motivate them? Why would they try to hustle you? Are they trying to control the climate or you? Well, those are the questions we're going to explore in this film. And the answers may shock you. Order your DVD, Blu-ray, or digital copy today of Climate Hustle 2.
To find out more, go to climatehustle2.com.
A man's home is his castle, but his men's shed, that's his kingdom. There are now more than 1,000 men's sheds across Australia, and they're more than just a shed. You can make things, grow things, find a mate, be a mate, shoulder to shoulder. The Australian Men's Shed Association can help to find a shed near you. Yeah, there's something for you
at the Men's Shed. TNT, today's News Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome back to TNT Radio. This is the Misty Winston Show. I am joined this hour by Ian Schlachman and Reverend Annie Chambers. And we are just talking about, we were just talking a little bit about Reverend Annie's adventure through life so far. And Ian, you actually just said something about how you were trying to do the food giveaway or whatever. And, you know, you get harassed and all of that stuff. And then, I mean, because I've spoken to Keith McHenry, who's the founder of Food Not Bombs. And it's mind blowing to me that in this country, we, criminalize helping people. You know what I mean? Like it's if you try to feed people, if you try to house people, my friend Rome was out in Boston and he was trying to give tents away and the cops came and harassed him. And it's just very frustrating to me that culturally we see, or we've, you know, kind of made it a bad thing to help those less fortunate. And I don't know, it just, I mean, what do you guys think about that? Do you think that, you know, there's any coming back from that? Because it feels so culturally ingrained in us at this point, you know, that we shouldn't be helping each other. You know, the whole bootstraps thing, the bootstraps mentality, it's very frustrating.
Absolutely. And part of, you know, the reason that I work with Reverend Chambers and Welfare Rights, and I'm enamored by what they've done throughout the 60s, 70s, and 80s, is that, you know, they came at this from a survivalist perspective. They were a group of working class women, or poor women even, on welfare in one way or another. And when they weren't getting what they needed to survive, they would have to take it. And I want you to answer if you could do these kind of things today, but maybe you could share a little bit about what you had to do to literally get yourself a house in the middle of Baltimore.
Well, you know, and I'm still advocating that people do these things, okay? Because unless you stand up and fight, you will always be not pushed down. But if you stand up, you can always look your enemy in the eye. Now, when I back, let me see, because it's been over 50 years ago, my children and I were about to be homeless. And I went to the housing authority and asked them to help me. And they said, well, we're sorry, we can't help you because you got 19 children. We don't have anywhere big enough and blah, blah, blah. And I was the president of Welfare Rights at that time. So I said, okay, because some of my children had grown up and, you know, lived elsewhere. I decided I, you know, was going to have somewhere for my children to live. I rode around Baltimore City. At that time, they was rehabbing houses. They had started a rehab housing program.
That the city, oh.
That the city, you know, it was HUD housing. It was just like public housing. Yeah. It is public housing. But they were playing political favors with them. Schaefer was mayor. And so I got to 22nd Street. There was a nice big house there, but it wasn't big as the one ran on Gifford Avenue, 2206 Gifford Avenue. And so when I got on Gifford Avenue, I looked at the house. The men were still in there doing the finishes, touches. It had like two kitchens and all of this other stuff. And I asked the man, I said, when will y'all be finished? And I guess he thought I was part of this, you know, the city, because he explained everything to me. So the day that they finished the house, that night, I decided me and my children would move there. And so I had no money. Well, we had a paper out there called the Sun paper. And it was one real radical, real good political reporter on the Sun. I understand, well, I know he's old because I'm old and he was older than me. He might be dead. But anyway, I talked to him at Welfare Rights, because he used to come by. He said, if you do it, I help you get a truck. So I moved into 2206 Gifford Avenue with a Sun paper truck. We used one of their trucks and moved what belongings me and my children had. We broke the lock, and me and five people from Welfare Rights, another activist, and the reporter from the Sun, who was her boyfriend, as that's how, you know, she used to hang around, and he was her boyfriend, so he used to hang around the Welfare Rights office. We moved in there, and then the next day I called up the telephone company and got my phone hooked up. And so it became to the attention of, you know, the housing authority that I had moved into this house. And the person that Poser had moved there, who was one of Mayor Schaefer's personal aid buddies, came by and found out me and the children were there. And they used to send the police and the sheriff. And I enrolled my children in the school around the corner, the elementary school. And then I put the rest of my children that, you know, in high school and everything. And I used to, we used to have a code. Everybody got to get together. But when they used to come knock on my door, I'd open the door. What you want? And they said, you trespassing. I said, no, this is my house. I'm not leaving. And they sent the sheriff and they sent the police. And I used to stand in the door. I said, that's all right. You may take me out. But some, if you're white, you'll be Snow White when you leave. If you're black, you'll be white when you leave. I had me some lie and an old axe and a shotgun. And that's what I used to stand in the door with that. And they went back and talked to the mayor, Schaefer. And his thing was, I'm gonna get her out of that house no matter what. She got to go. Yeah. But the director of housing knew me. And he told him, he said, Mr. Mayor, you may send in and drag her out. You may have to kill her. And she got those children in there. And Schaefer didn't like publicity. He said, how you think you're going to look all in the press? See, the Sun paper supported me. They were there. At that time, it was Channel 13 was the big station. They would come every day to see what was going on at my house. Mm-hmm. So I would still go on with my work, send my children to school. In the evening, we come back in and go on in the house, just like, you know, we were supposed to. We lived there.
Yeah.
That was our house.
And this program, and welfare rights, I mean, it wasn't just you. Kensington, Philadelphia, there were other places where
they would started the homeless union.
That's right. Either they knew the knew city, about the it. Baltimore City still sits on many, many, many vacant houses.
Many vacant
yes.
houses. But we, you know, they had gotten them rehabbed.
Yep.
But they were playing political favors with them. See, if you was Schaefer's buddy or one of those council people down there, buddies, and stuff, then you got a house.
What'd you find?
Yep.
Oh, not in this one.
What's the other one?
Oh, now I stayed in that house for 50 years.
Nice.
As a matter of fact, they paid me when I said I wanted to move. But I raised children and grandchildren and started raising great grandchildren. I said, time for me to go. It was a nice big house. We stood up. The whole community got to love me and, you know, and everybody. But Mr., I want to say this before I end about this house. Mr. Van Story Branch was the housing commissioner at that time. And he told the mayor, he said, she's not going nowhere.
Yeah.
She's not going nowhere, so you just well let her have it. So they, you know, I did something I shouldn't have did because I found out later under the law that I shouldn't have did this. And that was, I paid them some rent. They sent me a lease. My first lease was $35 a month. Mm-hmm. And I ain't had 35 cents in my pocket. But Mr. Van Story Branch paid my rent up for a year. And so that meant I became a tenant rather than an owner. Right?
Yeah.
I became a tenant. I didn't know the law back then. But now I'm still advocating for people to do that because I became president of Scattered Site Rehab Housing, and we needed office and space, and the housing authority again told a lie. Paul Graziano at that time. See, I like to call names. So when you research back, and they can't say, didn't you say that? It's on record. Paul Graziano was the commissioner at that time. They told me they didn't have no way for us to have an office. But round the corner from 2206 on Calvert Street was big old houses also. And we found a nice big house around there. 2206 had 12 bedrooms. Calvert Street had, what was it, 14 bedrooms. And let me tell you what we found in the good time spot. We went around there and I broke the lock and went into Calvert Street. We found some of the best food you ever want to eat in the refrigerator. I'm talking nice. About good old salmon and steaks and stuff. And the bar was stacked with that Top Chef liquor.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And,
yes. And then when you went to the bedrooms, you know those nice big round beds people?
Yeah.
All the bedrooms were laid out. I went back downtown and I told Graciano, I said, because I never called him Mr. because he didn't call me Miss. He didn't say Mr. I didn't say Mr.
Right.
I said, Graciano, you know, 2112 Cabot, what's going on with that? He looked at me all crazy. Oh, I got a family getting ready to come in there. I said, yeah, it's many families going to be there because I've already taken it for my office. I said, you try to put us out? I got the press waiting to show what y'all had in there. That was the good time spot for the politicians and all of them.
Yeah.
That's what it was. But we
nice.
Gave it. I gave the liquor and everything to the homeless. Food and all. I said, y'all come here. I gave it all away. Everybody in the neighborhood had nice round beds and they were comfortable and everything. We moved everything out. And then I went back to them and I said, I want y'all to give me some desks, some chairs, and tables. And they said, we don't have the money. I said, well, I tell you what, you got money from HUD for rehab housing, and you never gave us none of it, and I want it. So
that's right.
We wind up with the whole place being furnished, and we stayed there, and we called it Big Mama's House.
Nice.
And we had an after-school program. We had a summer camp program in there for the children. Parents never had to pay anything. And we fed the children 3 meals a day. And we did that for 14 years, right there nice. On Calvert Street. And then the first thing they did, they used to try to get us out. They would throw trash and stuff in the yard. And then they hung a dead cat one time, a black cat Ugh. Over the door. And Ugh. I got out there and told them the next thing going to be hanging is one of y'all. Hang something else. So they didn't do that. But what they did was they waited till the middle of the winter. And one night they went and chopped a big hole in the roof.
Mm. Oh.
Where the rain and snow and everything could come in on us. And they never would fix it. They wouldn't fix it because they said, no, y'all own it. You have to get the money to fix it. And so finally they condemned it. So that's what happened to Big Mama's House. But I'm telling people with a little strength, because I tried to get other people in the community to fix that roof and help me. But everybody is scared. What's going to happen
yes.
to me? We
yes.
have got to stand up. And that's why I like y'all young people. Because now I see the young people standing up against oppression. I love the Black Lives Matters. I love, People's Power Assembly. I love all those groups because they stand up against what's happening in society today.
Yeah. Yes. And you're absolutely right. They're not just going to give it to us. That's just not how it works. Power concedes nothing without a demand. And that is the truth. Yes. And so we do. I mean, you have to force it. I mean, that's where we're at right now. And it really has gotten just so bad. The corruption is so bad. And they have so much power and they have so much money and they have all the resources. They have the cops now. The police force is now militarized. I just keep telling people we have to move now. It's the longer we wait, the harder it will be. And we can't just keep putting this off more and more, because people are suffering now. People are struggling now. People are dying now. Yes. Everybody keeps telling me that we should just vote. Everybody just go vote. Voting isn't going to work. We can't vote our way out of this. It's going to take a fight. It really is going to take a fight. It's going to take people getting in the streets and standing up for what they believe in, standing up for their neighbors, and coming together. And really, we have to come together too across ideologies. We have to have conversations with people we don't agree with. And I know that you've done that your entire life. And that's what we have to do. We have to come together and fight back against the machine. That's what we're up against. We do have to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the new march and conference that's taking place in June. So everybody hang tight so you can get all the information on that right here on TNT Radio.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
The primary elections on the 17th of May have produced some results of note. Thomas Massie's resounding win with 75% of the vote in Kentucky's 4th district is particularly important. Massie was endorsed by former President Donald Trump, which no doubt helped him in his battle against three other Republican Party challengers. The main challenger, Claire Wirth, attacked Massey's voting record in many areas, suggesting that he's a rhino, a Republican in name only. This was a bit rich, to say the least, considering Massey is one of the most conservative members of Congress. Two other important wins were for Senators Mike Crapo of Idaho and Rand Paul of Kentucky, both of whom, along with Massey, voted against the $40 billion so-called security assistance package for Ukraine, which in reality risks an escalated war between the world's nuclear-armed superpowers. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
Morning, Mama. How you feeling?
Great, and I'm ready for you today.
I'm checking in on ya. Morning meditation?
Check.
Dressed and ready to work out?
Check.
Check your blood pressure yet?
And check.
Boom! Great job, Mom. And about those gold earrings.
No, ma'am.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Monitor your blood pressure daily and help each other stay motivated. Rally your squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
The new communism is COVIDism. The voice of freedom is TNT Radio.
Hello, welcome back to TNT Radio. This is Misty Winston, and I am joined this hour by Ian Schlachman and Reverend Annie Chambers. And we've been, I'm delighted that we've been able to have Reverend Chambers tell us a lot of stories about the fight, because she offers a lot of wisdom. She's been in this game for a long time, and we could learn a lot from her. And so we're talking today because there's a National Welfare Rights Conference that's coming up, taking place on June 15th and 16th in Baltimore, Maryland. There's also some additional events taking place on the 17th and 18th, if you want to stay for, an extended period. So tell us about this conference. Tell us about what's going on, how people can get involved, all that good stuff. Whoever, Ian, Annie, doesn't matter.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sure. So I'll just give the website real quick, tinyurl.com/NWRU2022. That's tinyurl.com/NWRU2022. Please register. Even if you just want to attend online and watch the conference virtually, please register.
And give my telephone number.
Oh, yeah. And I'm serious. Everyone thinks I'm kidding when I do this, but this is really Reverend Chambers' telephone number. And anyone can call it. And you got anything you want to say or add or come to the conference or have questions, you let her know. It's 443-768-7682. 443-768-7682. The woman plays no games. I mean, the same number that, some a-hole gets, Reverend something or another, is the same number you get if you're just interested and want to talk to her. The conference is going to be fantastic. We're going to have people from all around the country that were at these different struggles throughout history. So, the struggles of the 60s from the Poor People's Campaign, the original one, and then towards the 70s where you had shutting down the strip in Vegas, the late 60s, early 70s. We're going to talk about that. We're going to have people that were actually there give report backs and talk about, how can we learn from these tactics? What were some of the things that we learned back then? What are we not doing now that we need to, realize and come together as? Because welfare rights sounds like a very simple, the title sounds very simple, the organization. But one of the things that really set this group apart is that if a welfare office was not doing what they were supposed to do, they would shut it down. Or they would make demands in the street, shut the street down if they were not getting something that they needed to survive. It's not like the people always have this conception of welfare as like, oh, you know, people just being lazy, doing nothing. The city literally gets resources from the federal government to do these programs, HUD money, housing money, food money, clothing money, shelter money, all these different things. And they're lying in their own pockets because no one is watching. Because no one is watching. That's the takeaway from the stories that you're going to hear is that, you know, back in the day, we had local reporters that actually cared and would show up and do a news interview on this. And then you had not just welfare rights, but there was a coalition of people forming welfare rights. There was the Communist Labor Party back in the day that Reverend Chambers was a part of. Now Reverend Chambers and I are both in PPA, People's Power Assembly, here in Baltimore, that still does some of those fights. Back in the day, you know, Reverend worked with Minister Malcolm, and then she was a Black Panther. So, I mean, there was a confluence of organizations back then that had to come together to create the situation where they could successfully take over a house. You try to do it on your own, you watch how fast things aren't going to go well for you. You try to do it with the newspaper by your side, and the minute and even the Catholic Church was different then. You know, I mean, people of all over from all different stripes would take a leap and walk out of their, you know, get out of their rut and come out and support someone being evicted. Or, you know, some, or the city not doing what it's supposed to do.
Right.
The Baltimore City temporarily had a rent control law until people looked the other way and, you know, the lawyers got at it and tore it down. And now our rent's some of the highest in the country, like everyone else. So, I mean, you don't pay attention or you want to do this alone is going to be very, very difficult. So come to the conference, please, and try to, you know, join us. We're going to have a fantastic conversation over the course of 2 days. There'll be, at the end of it, a great award ceremony. Everyone that comes to the conference will be fed three times over by Reverend Chambers' family. So you know you're going to eat good. we don't turn anyone away.
Right. Everyone is welcome to come to the conference. We are scraping, and anybody that would like to donate to us, we certainly would appreciate it. No matter how much or how small or how big, we will be glad to get it. Because right after the conference, that Friday morning, we are getting up, marching to D.C. To be part of the Poor People's Campaign march on Saturday morning. We will be there starting out Friday and get there Friday, either Friday night or early Saturday morning. But we're going to be in that march. We're going to show them that poor people do care, that we love, you know, that we fight for ourselves, because I am also a product of Minister Malcolm, and he said, you only get what you organize to take. And I'm organizing people to take back this country.
Yes. Thank you for that. Yes.
And we need Twitter, I'm at iShlackman, iShlackman. iShlackman, and I've got all the conference information posted right up there.
Yeah, he's got it as pinned tweet. I'm going to retweet it again right now. I've already retweeted it once. So yeah, again, there's going to be 2 days of like a conference, right? So that's going to be like different discussions with different activists and organizers from
independent media to come out. So Misty, you're more than welcome if you could make it.
I'm trying.
We're trying to get the real story out, because some people, you know, There is a thing that kind of when you get such a big group of people that were working on this back in the day, you know, not everyone is as honest about what has happened back in the day as Reverend Chambers. So there's always a chance of whitewashing these events if we don't tell the story ourselves.
Yes,
if we let other people tell the story, it's going to be whitewashed. It's going to be about vote Democrat, Republican bad, that kind of stuff. And that's not what happened back then. Baltimore City's always had a Democratic mayor. It ain't making a difference.
Right. True. That's very true. Lots of places have Democratic mayors and it doesn't make a difference, you know?
No. And they do the same thing. You'll hear stories from around the country of crackdowns happening. See, this has been going on way before. Like, we've been doing this since before COVID, and crackdowns right across the country of going to a homeless encampment, say it's infested, and then the cops come in and the trucks come in and they literally take the Cuomo's people's possession. Last time we did this conference in Baltimore, someone from California, right after Baltimore had the same thing happen to them, someone from California said the saddest sight they ever saw was a pickup garbage truck coming into a homeless encampment and taking a Christmas tree from a homeless family and throwing it in the back of the garbage truck and moving on. These things are coordinated. These people talk to each other. They go to conferences where they liquor up in Vegas and stuff like that. Spend your money, spend your tax dollars that should be going to people in need.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if we don't fight, it's going to continue to be the way.
Yes. And the protest environment in this country has been really neutered. I mean, it's really difficult to get people out, to get people to care enough to leave their houses and go out and get in the streets and fight for something. And that's really disappointing to me because we need that now more than ever, I think. I mean, we really are up against it at this point.
Yes.
I mean, we're getting bombarded with crises after crises. There's homelessness, there's poverty, there's, you know, people don't have enough to eat, people don't have jobs, they can't go to the doctor. We're in multiple wars. I mean, the anti-war movement's gone. Like, where is everybody? Where is everybody?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very frustrating.
I just want to take a quick second to just plug Struggle of the Lucha and Socialist Unity Party, which we're both a part of. They've been desperately trying to hold anti-war actions while other major supposedly socialist groups are like, oh, well, you know, we don't know, you know, let's stay by the sideline. We'll stay by the sideline till what? Till World War III? Till we wake up and it's too late and we're all bombed out?
Exactly what's
going to
happen.
The world has been on fire.
Yes.
Just because you're only noticing now, because maybe you're middle class and you're just starting to realize it now. Good. Welcome to the fight. You're going to join us here in the trenches? Because Baltimore's been on fire. You know, like, name another city. And if you believe the narrative that, oh, it's just a Democrat problem, the Democrat city. Oh, it's a Republican problem. They're evil. Then, man, you are a sucker. Then you are just a pure sucker, because neither of those parties are doing.
You know what I have said to some people when we talk about this baby formula situation, I laugh about it. They said, why are you laughing, Reverend? I said, wonder what would happen if it just was poor people that couldn't get formula for their children, that needed this milk for their children. Wonder would the president, you know, fight so hard for us to get formula. And I said, you know, but we were blessed, because I didn't know formula existed when I was having children. It either was my milk or the cow's milk, pet or carnation. So, you know, now they saying don't make your own formula. I said, well, I hope nobody don't bring their baby to me, because I still know how to make pet milk formulas or carnation, you know. And those are the things that, you know, we laugh about, because between me and my cousin, we used to just feed each other's children. It didn't matter. We grab a baby and stick it up there. It would nuts.
Yeah.
That was.
I mean, listen. Mothers have to do whatever they have to do. I mean, they're telling people to not make their own formula. Well, then make sure that mothers have formula. That's I don't know why this is so difficult.
You know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If this was just, they would not address it.
Right.
It's just like, even with the drugs, now it's an epidemic. Hell, we've been saying that forever.
Yeah.
That our children, poor and working class people, children, but now Miss Susan can't get no formula. It is a tragedy.
Yes.
And I don't want no baby to starve. No child should starve. But I forget that, what was she, a senator, congresswoman, or whatever that fool was, because I was hollering so bad. When she got on that, and she had a problem with them giving the formula to some immigrants who couldn't get out of the place to get nothing for their children. Mm. She was saying, don't send the milk there. I said, well, what you want them to do? Stay there and starve to death?
Mm. Right.
See, that shows you what America, the powers that be, will do. But we have to fight.
And they don't care.
Because the formula should be available to everybody.
Right.
Yes.
It should be 100% free.
And it should be free.
Yes. Agree with that too. 100% agree with that too.
It should be free. Just like housing. 100%. And food and clothes. All these
things,
basic,
America, the basic essentials.
Education.
We can take care of everybody. We have that ability. Yes, we have evolved to the point where we can absolutely take care of all of those things, for sure. Yes. Okay, Ian, hit us one more time with the website for the conference so that everybody can go and sign up.
To Lucrine.
Yeah, yeah. The website one more time is tinyurl.com/NWRU2022. tinyurl.com/NWRU2022. There's a link to register on the bottom. Right there is a link to donate. We could really use donations as well. Please help us. And then there are at the bottom of the page too are the link to the marches and stuff like that happening on the 17th and 18th. So please come on out.
Awesome.
Spend some time in Baltimore. Learn something from the elders, because you know we only got them for a period of time. I know Reverend 20 years, but not everyone's that blessed.
Yeah, we got Reverend Annie for 20 more years. But everybody, please check it out. Sign up, show up, donate. It's free to go, so you don't have to donate, but donates are always appreciated. And please show up. Everybody show up. I'm going to try my best. I'm working on childcare. Thank you both for coming on. I really appreciate you taking the time. And I'm going to hit you up, Reverend Chambers, to come back on. And we'll be back with more right after this here on TNT Radio.